Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Friday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow, it is the final hour or the first hour of the final broadcast day of the week, and we've got a lot of ground to cover. By the way, our good friend Trish Regan, a host of the Trish Regan Show, is going to be here a little bit later on. Also, Congressman Bob Good from Virginia weighing in on the Biden crime family, and also this controversial FAA vote where you had more than 80 Republicans in the House side with Democrats, and they shot down an amendment that would have forced the airlines to rehire all of these people who were fired because they refused to get the clot shot. So we're going to be talking about that a little bit later on. Also, today is Open Line Friday. So this is an opportunity for you to ask me a question. If you want to talk about an issue that maybe is off topic, we're going to allow you to do that. We save all those questions for Friday. And we would love to have you join us. Write down our telephone number. You will need this if you want to call into the program today. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So I'm curious if any of you have gone to see this movie, the Barbie movie. It's all the rage in America right now. And people are dressing up in costumes, and it's sort of like when Spider-Man came out, and everybody dressed up like Spider-Man. They came out, and they dressed up and had a good old time. Well, there's a lot of controversy surrounding the Barbie movie, and we're going to be playing some audio from the movie in just a little while. But a lot of people are wondering if what's going on here with Barbie and Ken, because the complaint from a lot of conservatives and a lot of men is that Ken is acting more like a woman than Barbie is. That Barbie actually wears the pants in that relationship. And I'm curious to know what's really going on. The Daily Beast says, in reality, Ken has never been Barbie's boyfriend. He's her gay BFF. Is that best friend forever? Is that what that means? Thank you, Colin. I'm unfamiliar with the young people's lingo these days. So anyway, Daily Beast says, are you surprised that Ken is acting rather gay-ish? Because the music video, someone sent me a copy of the music video from the movie, and it's just weird, right? It's not really like a cartoon. It's like reality, and it's very weird. By the way, a lot of people said they were going to go see Oppenheimer instead, but it turns out that Oppenheimer is a complete mess. They're saying it's woke, it's leftist, and it's anti-American, and it's just a bad, bad movie. And I'm disappointed because I was planning to go see Oppenheimer, and I may just do it. And if it's not good, I'll just get my big bucket of popcorn and walk out of the movie theater. But no, I'm not going to see Barbie. And I'm curious, first of all, are you going to take your kids to go see it? I don't think this is a good movie to take the kids to. Based upon the video that I saw, and Dylan, let me know when we've got that audio. We do have it ready. I want you to listen to the song. This is from the movie, and it features Ken frolicking on the beach, holding hands with other men. That I know there's nothing wrong with that, not at all. I'm just trying to explain to you the context. And Ken is really upset because I guess Barbie is not putting him first in the, I don't know. Let's just listen.
I just don't know who I am without you.
That's Ken. Him.
But it's Barbie and Ken. There is no just Ken.
Doesn't seem to matter what I do. I'm always number two. No one knows how hard I tried. Oh, oh, I have feelings that I can't explain. Driving me insane. All my life been so polite. Cause I'm just Ken. Anywhere else I'd be a 10. Is it my destiny to live and die a life of blonde fragility? I'm just Ken. Where I see love, she sees a friend. What will it take for her?
These are the men on the beach, holding hands and frolicking together. Sing it, boys! Sing it, boys!
I'll see you on the Malibu Beach!
Wow, that was a little intense. So all that to say, you see what it's just a weird vibe, right? I don't know. I was reading a review from Christian Toto, who is a very popular Hollywood writer and a reviewer. And he says the movie loathes men. That's the whole, that is the theme of the movie, that men are bad and apparently gay. The movie itself is a, It actually hates the Barbie toy, and they actually called the Barbie doll itself fascist throughout the movie. So if you're taking your kids to this, you better get ready. This would be sort of like if they did SpongeBob SquarePants in real life. You know what I mean? It's just, and it took a really awkward, dark turn. Anyway, they say it's just a disaster. That's the lesson here. And again, this is an attack on manhood. And so if you're a feminist, if you wear Mexican man shoes, if you have a degree in lesbian literature studies of the 17th century, you're going to love this thing. You are going to think that you're going to weep. You're going to cry. You're going to love it. But as far as the rest of us, I would recommend going to see Top Gun Maverick again. You know, just grab the wife and the kids and go see Top Gun. Oh, my goodness. So there are various Kens, but Ryan Gosling is like the lead Ken. And they're calling this an uber feminist world that has no need or empathy for men. And that Ken is the representative of men. And there you go. So I'm curious. Oh, by the way, the screenplay actually mentions the word patriarchy 10 times. So there you go. All right. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. What a mess that is. All right. We have a lot of stories to get through today. Also, a lot happening with Trump. We understand the judge in the trial, Trump's trial, has set the date for just a few months before the presidential election next year. So there is not going to be a speedy trial here. And this could get really interesting to see how all of this plays out over the next, really for the next year. But we're looking at just under a year from now when Trump will go on trial, right as the elections are heating up. Do you think that's going to have any sort of an impact on people? I will say this, some polling data shows that Vivek Ramaswamy is gaining ground and in some cases is tied with Ron DeSantis for third place. And, of course, Trump is just crushing everybody. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to the phones. Again, open line Friday. You want to weigh in on the Barbie movie? You want to weigh in on Donald Trump? We're going to be taking your questions, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Hello, everybody. Todd Starnes here. I'm very excited to tell you that we are on the journey to a slimmer Todd, thanks to our friends at Calitrin. Elizabeth, this really is a fun weight loss program you guys have.
Really is. You know, fun, and it's different than everything else out there because it's actually good for you. Drug-free, stimulant-free, non-addictive. This is actually just giving your body back what it needs to turn it back into that fat-burning machine that it used to be when you were younger. So it's good for you. It's safe. Even if you're on medications, it's not going to interfere with those at all. It's really actually good for you. And if you go to our website, toploss.com, you can read up on how there's side benefits, no side effects. So we're talking better sleep, less joint pain, more natural energy. All the science behind that is on our website, along with the before and after pictures. They're real people just like you and me. Toploss.com has all that information on there. You can also call us with questions too. That's 1-833-TOPLOSS.
And be sure to use that promo code Todd. Sometimes I wonder, does God not like Memphis? Does the Almighty have a problem with us? Folks, it's just, we have been through the ringer here in Memphis, Tennessee. We had a big line of storms, severe thunderstorms move through, and they're really not that severe. I mean, they were like 60-mile-an-hour winds, all right? And the power got knocked out to almost half of the city, and the power is still out. We're talking days later. We're in the middle of a nasty heat wave, and people don't have power, no air conditioning. Then last night, we had these huge storms again, and there was flash flooding. People were like in their homes, and water was pouring into their houses. And then I got an email alert yesterday, and I live in the suburb of Germantown. We have our own water supply. And, of course, the power was knocked out. And so they had a big diesel generator, and somehow 100 gallons of diesel leaked into the city's water supply. So we're not allowed to drink any water. People are running to the grocery stores trying to get bottled water. And they said, oh, no, this is all going to be good. We're going to have everything up, and you'll have your water first thing Friday morning. Well, now they're telling us that the federal government has to come in, and they're going to have to all that to say they're setting up stations where people can go and get water. I'm going to be shocked if we have water by Sunday, but who knows? And now they're telling us another round of severe weather is about to hit, and we could end up having power go out even more. It's rough, folks. I'm telling you, it is rough. Anyway, I'm just curious about all of that. That being said, someone sent me an email, and they said, Todd, I hope you don't have one of those bidets in your bathroom, and if you do, don't light a match anywhere near it. You could have like a flamethrower. Boom! That would not go well. All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Let's start in North Carolina. Ronnie, listening to us on WSJS, great radio station. Hi, Ronnie. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. I wanted to pick your brain about something I've been thinking about this week and see what you think the chances and the odds are of this happening. Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis running on the same ticket. Do you think there's any way on God's green earth that these two can let bygones be bygones and come together and form as one?
A unity ticket.
Well, no, if Trump is the president, DeSantis is the vice.
No, but it would unify the party, so that would be a unity ticket, Ronnie. I like that idea.
I was going to say, that's our best chance to move forward and beat the Democrats on the other side. Now, I don't understand why they just can't come to terms and work things out and understand that this is our best way forward. Trump is the president, DeSantis is the vice president, and let's just push forward with that, and then we can groom DeSantis for 4 years down the line. It's not even like he's got to wait 8 but 4 years for his presidential run.
Well, that's an interesting way of looking at it. Look, I think that the relationship has been irreparably broken? I don't think so. I mean, you look at Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump accused Ted Cruz's father of assassinating JFK, so also called him Lion Ted. So, but they get along pretty good now. So I suppose it's possible. But from a political standpoint, is that really a winning ticket? And I ask that, Ronnie, because when you look at the polling data out there, Ron DeSantis is not bringing all that much to the table right now. So is it possible in Trump's thinking that maybe he's looking at somebody like a Tim Scott who could guarantee him a solid victory in South Carolina, but also somebody who might attract African-American voters to the party?
Okay, so at this point in time, Todd, who would you say the best vice president would be for Donald J. Trump moving forward? Who would get your vote for vice president? Who would be number one for vice president?
Number one on my list right now is Tim Scott. But I also have on that list Kim Reynolds out of Iowa, who is solid. She doesn't have the name recognition that Tim Scott has, but she's a rock-solid conservative. Another viable VP in my mind is Mike Pompeo, who would make a great president one day. And if you're rounding out that list, I would say Kristi Noem, who we just had on the show yesterday.
Oh, I love her. I'm all for her as well. Yeah, I just had this dream that these two could get along and we could have 4 years of Trump and then 8 years of DeSantis, and, you know, the red wave would be loud and proud again. And thank you for taking my call and love the show.
Ronnie, thank you. And look, it's a great idea, Ronnie. It really is. And maybe, just maybe, that's the way it's going to be. But we've still got a lot of ground to cover. And the DeSantis team has really made a lot of enemies for the governor. I mean, it's not Ron DeSantis as much as it is his team and these influencers they've hired to really cause chaos on social media. It's, if you've been on Twitter, which is really not representative of the real world, but if you've been on Twitter lately, it is ugly out there. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Let's go to Joe in Ella J, Georgia. Beautiful Ella J. Hi, Joe. What's happening?
Todd, great show as always. I'm down at Sea Island. They love you down here, and they also love Trump down here. And I think all these indictments, from my standpoint, I'm still fired up about Trump, and I'm going to vote for him with passion and enthusiasm. And people I'm talking to from everywhere say they're going to vote for Trump. So I believe that Trump will get the nomination. I think he'll be elected in a landslide. I think the stock market will hit an all-time high, and I think the great Todd Starnes show will help make this happen. Also, we've got a lady down here in Georgia named the Staples, Mallory Staples, and boy, she's a head of the Freedom Caucus, and she's getting a lot of taxpayer and small business champions elected, Todd, and I look for her to be a future president in the next few years. She's great.
All right. Well, Joe, always good hearing from you. And tell the good people over at Sea Island I said hello. And do you have a place, or you stay at one of the hotels when you're out there, Joe?
We have a home here, and I stay here. We can stay here 2 weeks, then we go home back to L&J for 2 weeks, then we come back again. We usually don't come in the winter because L&J and Sea Island are not that much different in the temperatures. But they love you down here, Todd, and keep up the great work. You're a great champion for the free enterprise and capitalism.
All right. Well, Joe, appreciate that. Safe travels to you and Mrs. Joe. President Trump saying yesterday, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. President Trump says it would be a very bad thing for the country if he is arrested and put in jail. There is a lot of speculation that Jack Smith and this upcoming indictment could demand that President Trump be arrested and detained. So let's just say next week, President Trump shows up for the grand jury hearing and he is arrested and he is thrown in jail in Washington, D.C. Do you agree with the president that that would be a very bad thing? And I'm telling you, the left, that's what they want. They want conservatives marching in the streets. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
My-
MyPillow is celebrating its 20-year anniversary with over 80 million MyPillows sold. Mike Lindell at MyPillow wants to thank each and every one of you by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get their queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, regular price $69.98, and just $10 more, you're going to be able to get a king-size pillow. You're going to receive deep discounts on all MyPillow products like bed sheets, mattress toppers, pet beds, mattresses, my slippers, and so much more. This is the time to try out some of their other amazing products you've had your eye on. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes to get this amazing offer of the queen-size MyPillow for $19.98 or call 1-800-839-8506. The offer comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use the promo code Starnes or call 800-839-8506. Promo code Starnes. Hello, everybody. Interesting story out of the Blaze. This is an exclusive story, and it's written by Joseph McKinnon. And here is the headline, exclusive, Fox News whistleblowers expose company's support for far-left charities. And all I will say about this, and I am critical of Fox News talent. I've been critical of a lot that's been going on at Fox, but I do want to be careful with some of this stuff. But so I will say this: the information I'm about to share with you is accurate, and I know it's going to be shocking for a lot of you to hear. But some people say, "Well, Todd, why didn't you expose this? Because it wasn't my place to do it." But now that it's out in the open, it's true. I mean, what Fox is doing is true. And that's really a lot of the criticism comes out of that. Not all of it. I mean, it is what it is. But the Fox leadership that stood alongside me and helped me along the way, I have great respect for and will not say a disparaging word. I don't think that's right. I am loyal to those people. But the Fox News, and I was listening to Bill O'Reilly last night. And he had Geraldo on his radio show, and we carry that on our flagship station, KWAM. And it was a fascinating conversation. But O'Reilly said, look, the Fox News that we all worked at, it's gone. It's not there anymore. This is new management, new ideology, new philosophies, and it's a whole different ballgame now. Anyway, Geraldo called Gutfeld Little Napoleon. And I will say this, and O'Reilly and Geraldo are longtime friends. They hate each other's politics, but they like each other personally. And there's nothing wrong with that. I know a lot of people like that. Geraldo's a liberal. He's not a leftist. He's a liberal. And so you can pal around with liberals. But I will say this about Gutfeld. He is not as conservative as you think he is. I mean, he is on television. What you see on TV is conservative. But when Geraldo called him Little Napoleon, I laughed because Gutfeld wields much power and authority in that building. And some people say maybe a little too much. But anyway, back to this Blaze story. And I'm just confirming that it's accurate. The information they have is accurate here. But Fox News has a program where if you donate to a charity, they will match that donation. And that's a pretty noble thing. It's called Fox Giving, and it's an app in the company portal that facilitates charitable donations, and Fox will match those donations up to $1,000. And when I was there, I would utilize that portal to make donations, and Fox would match that donation. Well, The Blaze has gotten a list of organizations, companies that Fox News has been donating to. And you better buckle up, folks, because this is some pretty shocking stuff. I will just read it from The Blaze. While on its face, this appears to be little more than an attempt at corporate benevolence, the company is willing to match donations to the Satanic Temple, The Trevor Project, which is a gay rights project, Planned Parenthood, local Planned Parenthood branches, and the Southern Poverty Law Center, a radical, radical leftist group that labels a lot of conservatives as domestic hate groups. The Satanic Temple is an atheistic leftist organization. They pass out devil literature to children. They perform unbaptisms. They also do something called a religious abortion ritual. Good Lord. So anyway, it turns out that a number of employees have reached out to the Blaze, and they were very alarmed by this. And the one of the executives at the Blaze actually did, I guess, a Zoom call with one of the Fox staffers, and they took screenshots of all of this. I mean, they've got all the goods here. Fox News, according to two current Fox News employees and one former Fox News producer, all three of whom spoke to the Blaze on the condition of anonymity for fear of reprisals, these same groups have been eligible for a charitable top-up from Fox. One source provided screenshots confirming the allegations, and two sources provided corroborating testimony. One Fox employee personally took the director of programming at Blaze Media through the company's portal and showed her some of the donation matches in the screenshots. Quote, I watched the source physically log into their company portal and confirm the giving app and to see some of the questionable charities and the donation match options for myself to verify nothing was photoshopped. The insiders detail how donations to the Satanic Temple and the Planned Parenthood and Trevor Project would all receive 100% matching donations by Fox. Planned Parenthood also gets a 100% donation with funds ostensibly raised in part with the help of Fox News cable subscriptions. Now, here's what's fascinating. One current employee stressed, quote, Fox pretends to care about Christians, but some of the stuff they push internally suggests otherwise. Glory holes, trans surgeries for kids, potential donations to Satan are a huge slap in the face to every Christian at the company, and we resent it. You know, I get that. If you're a Christian, you probably don't want your hard-earned tax money going to the Prince of Darkness. I understand. Makes sense to me. Reasonable. Quote, it offends me personally that this company acts like they support Christians, and yet they're literally willing to match $1,000 donations to the Satanic Temple. Wow. Now, there are some things that Fox will not donate to. Fox will not match or provide volunteering rewards to donations to organizations that discriminate on the basis of age, disability, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity characteristics or expressions, whatever that means, and so on and so forth. So I'm curious here. Let me finish reading off. This is fascinating. A former Fox producer who spoke to the Blaze says that the liberals behind the network's conservative face have been growing stronger in recent months. Quote, it became clear certain things weren't going to be tolerated on air anymore after Tucker was gone. We were told lay off Dylan Mulvaney. Once I realized we couldn't say certain things on air anymore, I started to dig more into the reality of the corporate views. That Fox might simultaneously ape conservative talking points while bankrolling leftist initiatives struck the former producer as an affront to the network's audience. This is fascinating. Quote, it shows complete disregard and hatred from Fox's core audience, which is a huge part of the country. They watch believing Fox is speaking for them when in reality it's a company participating in certain things that don't match their audience's values. I will say this. The last year and a half I was there, absolutely accurate. Everything that person said is absolutely accurate. Although the second current Fox employee who spoke to Blaze says, I don't want to blow up the company, they said that it was disappointing. It goes to show there's definitely a mismatch in values. Our business model has turned into just tell the audience what they want to hear. It's about appeasing and assuaging the audience, even though most people in the C-suite disagree with their audience's values. It's manipulative. So here it is in a nutshell, folks. They're pretending to be conservative on air, taking your money and then giving that money to organizations trying to silence conservatives. That's what Fox News is up to. And that's why I don't watch Fox anymore. And it's sad to say. And it's a terrible thing what's happened. But as Bill O'Reilly said, this is not the same Fox News that we all grew up with. It has changed. And it's changed for the worse. All right, 844-747-8868 is our phone number. That's 844-747-8868. Do you have a problem with Fox giving money to the Satanic Temple and Planned Parenthood and the Trevor Project and all of these far-left hate groups? Do you have a problem with that? This is the Todd Stern Show.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
All right, just to put a pin on that Fox News report from The Blaze, if you watch Fox News Channel, you are supporting Planned Parenthood. You are supporting the Satanic Temple. I mean, that's how it works. So Fox makes money because you watch their programs, and they get advertising money as a result of that. So just want to just keep that in mind. Last night, I had a great, great honor to be a part of the launch of a brand new Republican club in Whitehaven, Tennessee. Now, Whitehaven is part of Memphis, and it is probably one of the largest black middle-class communities in the nation. And I would not call this a Blexit, but it's a Blexit, where you now have blacks here in the Memphis area that are saying, you know what, we're done with the Democrat Party. We're sick and tired of the crime. We're sick and tired of all the broken promises, and we're looking for something else. And so a number of the folks there in that community said, you know what, we're going to give the Republican Party a shot, and let's see if they will live up to their promises. And it was pretty exciting last night. Now, of course, we're still dealing with massive power outages here, and that neighborhood hit especially hard. But they had about 60 people come out. I mean, that's pretty impressive. 60 people turned out at the YMCA, had a great food spread there. That was nice. And we got to hear from some incredible people who have incredible ideas about how to make Whitehaven great again. And it was exciting. And we're going to have some of those folks on the program. One of them in particular, this guy is running for Congress, and he wants to retire Steve Cohen, our radical, nasty Democrat who represents us in Congress. This guy's name, by the way, is Antoine Bohannon, and he's a retired member of the Navy, and he's doing some incredible work. I got to hear him speak for the first time. And Mr. Bohannon said, you know, we're all on the same boat together. It doesn't matter if you're in Memphis or Winston-Salem or Portland, Maine. We're all in the same boat. And so we've got a responsibility to stand up and fight back. And that was an exciting message to hear last night as we launched the Whitehaven Republican Club. And I wish them all the very best. And I'm so excited because this has been a big effort to reach out and broaden the tent, as Ronald Reagan encouraged us to do so many years ago. We need a big tent Republican Party. And as the chairman of the party said, a guy by the name of Kerry Vaughn, He said, look, you know, we may not agree on everything, but we can agree on public safety. We can agree on the issue of life. We can agree on the issue of religious liberty. There are lots of things we can agree on. We can agree on having good schools for our kids. And if you put all of that together, you realize, hey, wait a second, we've got a whole lot more in common than we thought we did. And if we can take on that mindset, then by golly, I think we're gonna do very well in the years to come. All right, 844-747-8868 is our phone number. Open line Friday. That means you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. Let's go to Troy in North Carolina, WSIC. Hi, Troy. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. I was a 7-year-old boy. Dad set me down in front of the television to watch us go to the moon. And my great-grandfather looked at after we watched it, and I remember him telling my dad and myself, I've lived too long. Now, you talk about a man, a different generation, by how the times have changed. Getting to my point, you know, a lot of people are complaining about this AI stuff, and they're probably legitimate, right? Because how it's being conducted or how it's being handled today versus what it was back in the day is totally different, just like everything else. But had we not gone to the moon, we probably wouldn't have some of the AI and intelligence and technology that we have available to us today.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting way to look at it, Troy. I think there is a lot of morality. There's a lot of morality issues involved now in the future of AI and where all of that goes. I do think that a lot of our concerns are factored into most of us watch the Terminator movies growing up. That gets a little too close, a little too close for comfort. I don't want to be you know, working the rest of my life in some sort of, like, I don't know, cave with a pickaxe.
There's such
robots.
The old adage goes, you've been watching too much television, son. You know, but I understand what you say.
It's true, Troy. Know, anyway, I'm just being real.
Yeah, I know. I understand. I'm being real too, but I just, you know, I believe there's something out there as far as UFOs go too. I believe there's something out there, but some people call me weird, but you know, I've been called worse.
No, I don't think you're weird. I think there is something is going on. And, you know, Congressman Tim Burchett, I mean, he's a pretty reasonable fellow. And whatever he has seen privately has given him great concern. And he believes that there are UFOs and there is a massive government cover up. And he's seen the documentation. So I'm curious to know, maybe one of these days we'll find out that information.
Well, I know there's government cover-up. They're covering up a lot of things, you know. But, you know, they're just covering up their own mess is what they're doing, like a cat does after they take care of their business. Some of it don't get covered up, and we're exposed to it. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that 2-cent story in worth there. It was appreciated to watch us go to the moon, and I remember it as a little boy. I think it was a milestone in our country today, you know.
It's a great story. I mean, it really is. All right, Troy, appreciate that call. Thank you. By the way, speaking of cover-ups, can we talk about the assassination of JFK for just a moment? Why is it that the government will not allow those documents to be unsealed? Everybody that's involved, everyone that was remotely involved in and around the assassination of JFK is long dead and gone. They're gone. So what's the problem here? Why do they continue? Why does the government continue to hold these documents in secrecy? Why will they not release the documents? And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. You know, there's been a lot of concern that that the government was involved in the assassination, that the CIA especially was involved in the assassination attempt. Certainly RFK Jr. believes that. But I'm curious to hear from you. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? According to the New York Times, President Biden's final order on the Kennedy files leaves people wanting more. And while a good majority of the papers have been released, Many, many others remain redacted. And it does make you wonder. What was it Lee Harvey Oswald said? Yeah, he told him that he was a patsy. And that certainly implies there were other people involved in the assassination, but we never knew that because he was killed himself on television. All right, got to take a break here, folks. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll be right back, America.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right, trying to figure out where I can get bottles of water. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. We're broadcasting today from the war zone that is known as Memphis, Tennessee. No power, no water. Oh, it's terrible over here, and it's a mess. So, look, let me explain what's happening here. The power's been out, and so one of our local water systems has been using a diesel generator, and that diesel generator has been leaking diesel into the water supply. And so now no one's allowed to drink. Any water, the only thing we can do is flush. That's it. And now they're limiting water. So I think I've got to try to find some. So if anybody out there in the Memphis area listening to us on KWAM knows where I can get some water, let me know. You know, somebody sent me a text message during the break. They said, Starnes, what in the world is going on in Memphis? You know, right now there is a war happening in Ukraine. Do you know that, ladies and gentlemen? The Russians invaded Ukraine. There has been mass carnage and devastation like we have never seen before. These massive bombs exploding everywhere. But you know something very interesting about Ukraine and the front lines of the war? They still have power and drinkable water. But not in Memphis, Tennessee. Just something to think about. This is what happens when you let Democrats control your city for generations. I'm just telling you. All right, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. Now, Friday, this is Open Line Friday, and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, whatever is on your mind. If you want to ask me a question, you can do that. Give us a call, 844-747-8868. Well, it has been a very busy week on Capitol Hill. Lots of hearings, lots of information coming out. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Bob Good from the Commonwealth of Virginia joins us. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
Doing great, Todd. Happy Friday. Great to be with you once again.
Yes, indeed. Congressman, I want to get your take on what we have learned over the past couple of days about the Biden crime family syndicate. What's the thing that really sticks out to you?
Well, that the Democrats, of course, what they want to do is they really can't deny the facts. They really can't deny the mounting evidence or the smoke that continues to arise here. So what they do, of course, is go back to their same old tired narrative, although this is Trump's fault. This is about Donald Trump. But you continue to get more information that indicates the corruption of the Biden crime family. You know, that the Biden family business apparently is influence peddling and bribery. There's no other goods or services that they provide. There's no other reason for them to make millions of dollars off the so-called family business. What is Hunter claiming that nobody's better at it than the Biden family? And that seems to be mounting evidence that is true. I certainly want to commend Chuck Grassley and Ron Johnson, who've done a great job on the Senate side, and Jamie Comer leading the way on the House side. We just need to be bulldogged and see where the truth takes us. The other thing I will just say, you know, a lot in the news today about, hey, should the president be impeached? He certainly merits impeachment. And some might say, well, that's not politically the way to go because he's a weak and damaged president who might be the easiest person we could possibly beat in November 24. But that's not the calculation. It ought not to be a political calculation. It ought to be a justice calculation. And this president has in many ways, since he's been in office, violated the responsibility of his office, chief among those with the border. But it also looks like we may be on the verge of uncovering the greatest political scandal in the history of the country. that our own sitting president may be so compromised with how he treats Ukraine, China, and other entities based on the corrupt business deals that he and his family have profited from.
When you go back, Congressman, to when Biden was a vice president and talking about the prosecutor being fired, I want to go back and play this audio. Cut number seven.
I went over, I guess, the 12th, 13th time to Kyiv, and I was supposed to announce that there was another $1 billion loan guarantee. And I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "No," I said, "I'm not going to, or we're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was what, 6 hours. I looked. I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a bitch, got fired, and they put in place someone who was solid.
Now, Congressman, that's the former vice president in his own words. What was a crime committed here?
Yeah, Joe Biden's always been a bit of a buffoon, as we know. He's always been a bit of a punchline. Going back historically, before he got to his current diminished state where he's lost some capacity, he gets disoriented, confused, and tired of faith, he was the guy with all the bravado, the arrogance. That's the Joe Biden that we knew from years past. He was the punchline. He was the gaffe machine. He was the one Jason Sudeikis played on Saturday Night Live that, you know, you couldn't take him seriously. He was kind of the screw up. He was the one, the big effing deal guy with the health care bill, and, you know, the plagiarizer, you know, the storyteller, the liar. That was Joe Biden, never taken seriously, never a serious presidential candidate before, and foolish enough to brag on video, to brag during whatever that event was where he was being filmed or talking about, look what he did to get the prosecutor fired that Burisma apparently wanted fired for their business interests, which were intertwined with the Biden family business interests. And so, you know, the Democrat Party regrets that this video is out there, or maybe they want this video to be out there. Perhaps it may be that they're actually turning on him and they may try to ditch him ultimately. I have long thought he would be the nominee. I haven't bought into the thoughts that maybe he would not, but you begin to see perhaps the shark circling here as evidence mounts his diminished capacity and the evidence that mounts, it's more difficult for folks to dismiss or to ignore, even in the so-called mainstream media.
But when you look at the wealth of evidence, the media is not covering this at all. Hardly anybody covered the hearings yesterday live. And you've got Democrats who are refusing to even consider the idea that Joe Biden has done anything criminal or unethical.
Well, you're exactly. You are certainly right. Half the country is not hearing about this. If they're not listening to conservative talk radio like yours, if they're not watching conservative-leaning networks, if they're not reading conservative publications on the internet or through their mediums or what have you. And just as we're speaking, I'm just going to tell on myself here. I'm flipping to the two of the national known left-leaning national networks. One of them's talking about racism down in Florida right now, and the other one's talking about Tony Bennett passing away, God bless him. So those are the two stories that the folks are getting right now. Tony Bennett passing away and some kind of racism thing down in Florida, they're alleging, instead of talking about, you know, the corruption of the sitting president. This isn't a former president. This isn't a candidate. This isn't some lower level figure. This is the president and his family. And how has the millions of dollars they've allegedly made influence sending $100 billion to Ukraine last year, the desire to send more money to Ukraine this year, in the way that we no longer deal with China as an adversary. We don't confront China. We don't criticize China. We're calling them a competitive partner now. And the whole administration has changed the posture from the previous administration. How is that influenced by the money, the millions of dollars allegedly this family has made off those relationships?
All right. Well, we're going to leave it right there. Congressman, appreciate you coming on the program today, and thanks for the great work you're doing up on Capitol Hill.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate you being in the fight. Great to be with you again.
All right, Congressman Bob Good, everybody, and we'll definitely get him back on soon. But I do hope that that one day we're going to see justice here. The question is, how long is that going to take? And do you believe that Biden will be held accountable? I know Congressman Good seems to think that Biden's going to be the nominee. I don't see how that's possible. By the way, we're talking about 7 years. You heard Biden talking on that audio. That's 7 years old. And now you can't even understand the guy. He just sits there and mumbles and falls asleep while he's talking. And you're telling me this is the Democrat Party's great hope for 2024? I don't think so. My money is still on it's either going to be a Hillary Michelle Obama unity ticket for the Democrats, or it's going to be a Gavin Newsom Michelle Obama. But I think Michelle Obama is somewhere in the mix because Obama is desperate to change the direction of the country. They have a plan. This is why Obama is still living in Washington, D.C. There's no other reason for Barack Obama to still be in Washington unless he is controlling things. And this man is up to no good. I'm telling you, Barack Obama is up to no good. And he is not finished fundamentally transforming our nation. All right, we got to take a break here. We're going to go to the phones. Open line Friday, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, MyPillow celebrating 20 years, over 80 million MyPillows sold. And our good buddy Mike Lindell, who's a great American patriot, wants to thank each and every one of you. And he's going to do that by giving you the lowest price in the history of MyPillow. You're going to get a queen-size MyPillow for $19.98, normally $69.98. $10 more gets you a king-size MyPillow. Now, we have our own page at MyPillow. It's MyPillow.com/Starnes. MyPillow.com/Starnes. You're going to find all sorts of great discounts on literally everything from mattress toppers, my slippers, pet beds, you name it. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use my promo code Starnes, and you're going to get some incredible offers, including a queen-size MyPillow for $19.98. You can also give them a call, 1-800-839-8506, and be sure to use that promo code Starnes.
Why are children with August birthdays more likely to be diagnosed with ADHD? Why are marathons bad for your health, even if you're not running in them? In their new book, Random Acts of Medicine, Harvard researchers and doctors Anupam B. Jena and Christopher Worsham answer these questions and many more, demonstrating how timing, circumstance, and luck can all affect the quality of your health care. Random Acts of Medicine is available from Doubleday wherever books are sold.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. What do you think this whole Jason Aldean controversy, what do you think it's really all about? I have a few thoughts on that. 844-747-8868 is our phone number. Let's go to the phones. We're going to start in North Carolina. Steve, listening to us on the talk station. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind today?
I've got to give you a rough time, Todd. You had a perfect opportunity for your own PSA when you first opened the last segment.
And you were talking. What's the problem here? What did I do wrong? Where did I go astray?
Ah, you had an opportunity to tell people that the issues there in Memphis with the water being shut off or not drinkable is why everyone should have a basic supply of the essentials on hand at all times. Come on, Todd. You should promote that.
Well, I mean, we do promote that. Hold on. I'm sorry. I forgot to turn my volume off there. Steve, I wasn't prepared. Look, Steve, I hear what you're saying, but when the entire water system goes down, there's only so much space you have to store water. I mean, I've got a jug of water in my fridge, but you can't anticipate something of this magnitude happening. I mean, you can prepare, but sooner or later, you're going to run out of water. What do you recommend? What do you recommend, though, Steve?
Oh, at least a week's worth of water for every person in the household.
That's a lot. I mean, if you got the space, yeah. I mean, I don't see a problem with that. But again, I'm not sure where you're taking me to task, because I've got my little bottle of water. It's a big bottle. It's a jug.
Well, you didn't promote that being prepared when you had a perfect example of why you should.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree with you here, Steve. I think everybody should be prepared, and We we're partners with Patriot, My Patriot Supply, and we encourage people to be prepared in the event, you know, the power goes out and things of that nature. But, you know, something like this again, and the broader story was not about preparation. It was about frustration that we have an infrastructure that has been allowed to crumble because of the rule of Democrats.
No argument.
All right. Well, Steve, I appreciate you taking me to task. So duly noted, my hand has been spanked with a wet noodle. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate that. Well, no, Dylan. Yes, it is a wet noodle. I don't, you know, the hard pasta, that hurts. I'd rather have the wet noodle. But thank you, Steve. All right. Let's go to Daniel listening to us on 96.9 Moody Radio. Daniel, what's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I love the show and I appreciate what you're doing. You mentioned, will Biden be held accountable? And I guess I'm kind of answering with another question is, Hillary Clinton, will she be held accountable? And it looks like the answer to that is no. And if I recall correctly, she openly said, if I go down, you all go down. And I, your thoughts on what's different with Biden? He's in the same group. And unless we get a complete Republican control, as they've had Democratic control now for a couple of years, I don't see it happening.
You know, Daniel, there's a great point you raise here, and it's about holding and the willingness of Republicans to hold these people accountable. And that's the big problem, is that we had control of the House and the Senate for the first 2 years of Trump's presidency, and they didn't do anything with it. They did nothing. And part of that had to do with the fact that you had Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, who are never Trumpers, who were leading the House and the Senate. But I'm with you here on this. I still think Hillary Clinton needs to be held accountable on a number of fronts, going all the way back to Benghazi. When, remember, she sat in front of the committee, she said, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? We still don't know the actual numbers of the people that were killed and injured as a result of her leaving Americans behind. Then we can tackle some of this other stuff, like colluding and conspiring with the FBI to sabotage Trump's presidential campaign. And those cookie crumbs, Daniel, go all the way back to the Obama White House.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah, and there's 59 people, too, that were mysteriously murdered, some of them in their 30s, Secret Service men and others that got shot in the woods behind their house, and different things that were just very unusual and just got squashed by the fake news. But I don't want to keep you too long. I know you got lots of guests and lots going on, but I'm a believer in Mike Pompeo, if I'm saying his name right.
Mike Pompeo? You like Mike Pompeo?
Yeah, I want to see him step up. Christian man, warrior. He has got responsibility in his pocket. He's done things. He's been there. He's negotiated. Put him behind Trump, and let's change our country.
All right. Well, Daniel, I appreciate the call, and thank you for listening. Appreciate that. And again, our number, 844-747-8868. Now, I haven't heard about, I've heard the body count theory around Hillary Clinton. As a matter of fact, somebody asked Anthony Weiner about that. Remember that guy, Anthony Weiner, the perv, who's married to I always call her Uma, but Hillary's gal, her gal Friday. And they asked him about the body count, and he just exploded in rage over that. But I mean, I've heard the stories. I don't have any concrete proof, but there are rumors out there, Daniel. All right, hang tight. We're going right back to your phones, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. So We had a lot of visitors here at the broadcast center. We just have a great, we're like the great big front porch on the radio. That's what we describe ourselves as. So you never know who's going to drop by. And we just had a great gentleman. He owns the Peach Cobbler Factory. So, you know, that's pretty darn good. And he brought by samples. And in the commercial break, I'm like devouring this delicious peach cobbler. And you got to go check this place out. A conservative family, they own the Peach Cobbler Factory. Go to peachcobblerfactory.com and check it out. I don't know what flavor I'm eating. It's amazing. I think this may be traditional, but that's pretty darn good. All right, welcome back to the Friday edition of the program. Now, this is Open Line Friday, and that means you can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about, and that's what a lot of people are doing today. Let's go to John in Georgia, who is listening to us on WDUN and wants to weigh in on the JFK assassination. Hi, John, what you got for us?
Hi, Mr. Starnes, how are you today?
I'm well, thanks for asking, John.
Good, good. I wanted to bring up, you asked about the controversy behind that, not releasing the files. I wanted to bring your attention, Executive Order 11110. Are you familiar with that?
I am not.
That was, I believe, President Kennedy's implementation of the silverback certificates. Remember those?
Well, that was a little bit before my time, but go ahead.
Okay, I had one when I was a kid, and it was a dollar bill, but normally you have a gold stamp on it. This had a silver stamp.
Okay.
He was trying to abolish the Federal Reserve. He thought it was an unnecessary inflationary means for this entity to mark up our dollars when it comes from the Treasury and gets distributed out to the banking system. And I find this interesting because during the assassination, I understand that Lyndon B. Johnson refused to ride in a limo with President Kennedy and also Jackie. And then after the assassination, LBJ gets signed in. I don't think he did it right away, but shortly thereafter, he signed an executive order abolishing silver certificates. And I think that that's really strange, you know. First of all, don't mess with the Federal Reserve, and I wanted to know what your take is.
So you think this is more about the American currency, and that's what led to the assassination as opposed to, I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, there was a communist plot. This had to do with the botched Bay of Pigs invasion. There were others that were saying this was actually a mob hit because his brother was RFK Sr. was going after the mob. And then there are others who say, well, this was just a plot by LBJ because he wanted to be president and hated the Kennedys.
Interesting.
I had not heard the American currency theory, John, but it's fascinating. Would you like to see all of the files opened up and unredacted?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you mentioned about Oswald. He was just a pawn, you know, and I also heard that the mob was involved also, as you mentioned, because of the Bay of Pigs, and they had invested in casinos, which they lost all their money. So, it could be a combination of all three.
Yeah, could be, but we will not know until we can see those documents. So, interesting. All right, John, appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Ken in Virginia. Hi, Ken, what's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. First of all, I want to say I really like your show. I listen to it almost daily during the week and in my garage while I'm fooling with my cars and stuff. And also I've heard, I listened to Jeff Katz here in Richmond, and I'm sure you know Jeff.
We love Jeff Katz. He's a good guy.
Yeah. So I was telling your screener that, you know, I'm just frustrated with Kevin McConnell and the GOP in general. Several complaints. The one that comes to mind is the most recent budget battle. Kevin was supposed to be batting for us, if you will, and standing up for our conservative principles and all this overspending that we're doing and stuff like that. And it was very, very frustrating that he kind of let that go. And now it seems to be no recourse at all against him. You know, he, as you know, he was under the gun, you know, by some in the party that, you know, they may gripe about him and, you know, kick him out of office, basically. But, you know, nothing happened, and now we're back to normal as Congress can be. And then, you know, just in general, nowadays you just don't know who's a rhino anymore. You know, the Republicans, you know, you get hopeful at some point thinking, well, they're going to go after Biden or they're going to straighten out all the mess that the Democrats have caused. And it just seems like, okay, let's have a hearing and, you know, and.
Yeah,
okay,
let me ask you a question. I hear your frustration. I feel your frustration. And I think I have reiterated this on the program over the years. So I hear you. So let me ask you a question. What do you think about this? I really don't think Biden is ever going to be brought to justice. I don't think Hunter is. I don't think they are. I just think the Democrats have far too many people within the deep state to protect them. So my question is this. Do you think that maybe the Republicans would be better off going after the deep state and focusing their efforts on dismantling all of that, defunding the FBI, defunding all these rogue agencies? Do you think that might be the better play here?
Yeah, if it was possible to do, but the Democrats would step in the way in every single possible way, like they fight everything else. You know, like the hearings yesterday with RFK Jr. I mean, they were trying to censor him in a censorship meeting. It just gotten way out of hand. And go after the deep state. Well, you know. Yeah, you'll knock a few, you know, a great amount of liberals out of that picture. But who else is going to go get knocked down? That's on the right side of the right hand side of the aisle. I just don't know. It just seems like we're too far into the depths of the deep state that it just seems like nothing is going to work anymore.
Well, it's going to take time, and I think President Trump, maybe he felt the same way, that he could just jump in and just start firing people and cleaning things up, and he realized probably right away, wow, this is going to take some time. And I know that DeSantis is out there, and that's one of the campaign messages, is that Trump did not dismantle the deep state. No, he didn't, but at least he started the process. And if the Republicans on Capitol Hill, if they can maintain the majority in just the House of Representatives, they control the purse strings, Ken, so they can wield a little bit of power, not a lot, but if they have the opportunity to dismantle or defund, they've got to take every effort to do that. And I think then we're going to make some headway, and if we can clean out all of the rot and the evil, maybe just maybe one day we can hold all these people accountable. But as long as the deep state is still there, I'm with you. I just don't think that's going to happen. Ken, appreciate that call. You tell Jeff Katz we said hello. We like him. Thank you. Let's go to Mike in Maine. WLOB is our great radio affiliate there. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Charles. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Well, you know, I'm listening about the Biden crime family, and I'm hearing a lot of people asking for a special counsel to be appointed. That's not what we need. What we need is an independent counsel. There's a big difference between the two. Independent counsels are the ones that investigate presidents and people in high office. Now, you're going to have to bring pressure to bear on Merrick Garland to appoint one. And my biggest worry is, have you heard anything out of McConnell on this?
Not a word. Not a word, Mike.
You know, I got to tell you, I wonder why, Todd. You know, he might be the next shoe to drop with the corruption he's had with China. But we need, they need to put pressure on him for independent counsel. That's the only way you're going to get it. He doesn't have to be under the bearing of DOJ as an independent counsel. He just needs to be appointed. But a special counsel, all they'll do is run circles and circles for years until it all goes down the drain. So the only way we can get to this is with an independent counsel. And they got a screen for it. Every one of them in the Senate and every one in the House or it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get. I don't think you're going to get the Senate on board. I mean, you've already got a group, and I'm going to be leaving someone out here: Murkowski, Romney, I believe Thune out of South Dakota. They say that, you know, if Trump is the nominee, they're going to leave the party, or they're going to bolt. So this is another big issue, and this is sort of out of Trump's control to some extent. But the question is, how is he going to get all the Republicans on board? We're going to need every single person on board with this presidential run. And if you've got the establishment wing of the party fighting against the nominee, that is a losing proposition in 2024.
No two ways about it. No two ways.
All right.
But I'll tell you, if we lose them, we're not going to be losing a hell of a lot.
No, we're not. But again, we need strong Republicans in the U.S. Senate, and we've got to get that. And we can rectify that. We can remedy that. And we are doing that. We're in the process of doing that. But you also have to be careful. I mean, there are a lot of people out there who claim to be conservatives, and they're nothing more than grifters, and they're looking out for their own interest and their own power base. And we're starting to see some of that come to light up on Capitol Hill. We'll talk more about that next week. I've got some intel to share. Trying to get a couple of things verified first, though. Mike, appreciate that call. All right, we've got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Folks, I've got to tell you about our good friends over at Newsmax. They're doing some incredible work, and the ratings are really through the roof. One of their great guests is the best-selling author David Horowitz, and he's got a brand-new book out called The Final Battle, talking about the 2024 election. Everybody says you've got to read it. President Trump, Mike Huckabee. As a matter of fact, Huckabee says every Christian in America needs to get ready for 2024, and David Horowitz's book is the way to do it. It's called The Final Battle, and it's in bookstores everywhere. It's already an Amazon bestseller, but you're going to be able to get a free copy, and here's how you do it. Go to finalbattle611.com. That's finalbattle611.com. You're going to be able to save almost $30, but you got to go to the website finalbattle611.com. All right. Welcome back, everybody. So happy to have you with us. By the way, all of our new listeners across Tennessee, we got a lot of them. Be sure to head over to our website, download our podcast, subscribe to it, and every day you'll get the podcast delivered right to you. And it is free of charge. We do not take a penny for that. Also, you can sign up for our free newsletter, and we send you breaking news alerts, and we don't overwhelm you. But four or five emails you're going to get from us, big stories that we're covering. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868, Austin in Michigan. Hey, Austin, I know you want to talk about Jason Aldean.
Yes. I've been a big fan of Jason Aldean's music for a long time. He's put out, you know, a lot of great songs. And so, you know, the fact that people are, you know, just attacking him over just a song about, you know, rights and freedoms and, you know, expressing his own opinions, you know, without using, you know, any, you know, malice or anything towards others, I think, you know, it's just a shame. And I think they did the same thing to Morgan Wallen a couple of years ago.
You're going to have to refresh my memory about Morgan. What did they do to him? I believe they canceled him. What was this? That was not too terribly long ago, I don't believe.
Yeah, it wasn't too very long ago, and I can't remember exactly what the issue was, but I think he, like, posted something online. You might have to, like, Google it, and then people were just, like, attacking him for something, but that's something that you might have to look up or Google. But, you know, back to, Jason Aldean, you know, I think that, you know, Jason Aldean is a great patriot to this country, and you know, for people who like country music, I don't really know what else to say about that. It just kind of leaves me speechless on you know how people can be just so offended by, you know, a small little thing.
Hold on. Let me jump in here. So there's a big difference between Morgan Wallen and Jason Aldean. Wallen actually used a racial slur, which was the big problem there. Jason Aldean, again, I've watched the video 5, 6, 7 times, Austin. Haven't seen a single issue. Nothing really pops up. He's certainly not using any racially charged language. The video of the violence actually came from television news footage. And as far as I can tell, most of the footage involved white people committing crimes. So I'm just not quite sure where the activist community gets off saying, oh, yeah, this guy is a racist.
Yeah, well, there you go. That really speaks volumes. I mean, you know, if you're using racial slurs, I totally understand, you know, how people could get offended by that. But, you know, what Jason Aldean was doing in a song, you know, just standing up for his beliefs, you know, that's just wrong on a lot of different levels. But then again, you know, one person, you know, gets on social media and, you know, jumps on the bandwagon with that. And then, you know, everyone's got to run for the hills. You know what I'm saying?
That's it. Austin, appreciate the call, and thank you for listening in Michigan.
You're welcome. I'm a big fan of yours, and I'm glad I found you. You do a lot of great work with the listeners. And what are your opinions real quick on the movie The Sound of Freedom?
Sound of Freedom, a fascinating movie. I have yet to see it, but I've heard nothing but great things, and I think it's troubling when you look at what's happening out there. With Hollywood, with the Democrats in general, as they're trying to silence people that are bringing a very real, clear, and present danger to the attention of the American people.
I saw it last weekend, and it definitely covered a lot of serious issues, but, you know, he really, the guy really went out of his way to save those kids, and it was very, very emotional, very, very, very deep, and, you know, I just can't say anything else good about it, and neither can my mom.
All right. Well, Austin, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening there in Michigan. Let's go again. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to hold Bill. Well, Bill just departed us. But anyway, we're coming up on the top of the hour news here. Folks, coming up, a California school district has declared war on the state capital of California. This is some incredible audio you're going to hear. It's just, it's a fascinating story and so inspirational to see these moms and dads, these school board members finally starting to get it. All right, we've got to take a break. This is Open Line Friday. Coming up, our good buddy Charles Thorngren's going to be here. Our telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us today. I'm Todd Stearns. Happy to have you with us. Wow, do we have a lot going on. By the way, President Trump, just a few moments ago, weighing in on the announcement that his trial date had now been set. I want to read this statement from the president's team. Judge Cannon making the decision to hold the trial in May, so there's not going to be a quick trial here. They say today's order by Judge Cannon, a major setback to the DOJ's crusade to deny President Trump a fair legal process. So it looks like they're pretty content with this. The extensive schedule allows President Trump and his legal team to continue fighting this empty hoax. Crooked Joe Biden is losing and attempting to use his weaponized DOJ against his top political rival, a disgraceful and un-American abuse of power. Good for you, Mr. President. So they don't seem to be terribly, terribly concerned about this. And I say good for him. By the way, there is a shock poll out. This is coming from Breitbart. And the polling data is coming from Kaplan Strategies. They do a lot of surveys. And according to their survey, Vivek Ramaswamy is actually tied with Governor Ron DeSantis for second place in the Republican primary race. That's pretty shocking stuff. So the interactive polls, the numbers here, Trump 48%, Ramaswamy 12%, DeSantis 12%, Big Chris Christie 5%, and Scott 5%, Pence 4%, Haley 3%. Undecided is 10%. So there you go. Are you surprised by those numbers? I like Vivek Ramaswamy. Seems like a nice guy. You know, great story. He's been very successful. But I don't know enough about this guy just yet. I don't know. We need some more intel on this guy. By the way, former Governor Larry Hogan of Maryland. Man, that guy hates Trump. He told CNN that 50% of Republican primary voters do not want President Trump to win the GOP nomination. Well, if that's the case, what does that say about Ron DeSantis? Again, just something to think about here. All right, I told you guys about this crazy story involving a school district in California. And the California state government is controlled by a super majority of Democrats. And these people are radicals. And they're coming after these school boards and these public school systems. And they're telling these school districts that they have to line up and they have to follow the radical teachings coming from the Department of Education there in California. And so one school district said, yeah, we're not doing that. So the head of the school district there in California, the state superintendent, a guy by the name of Tony Thurmond, decided to go down and confront the school board in Chino Valley, which is run now by conservatives. And the people on the school board in Chino Valley said, yeah, no, we're not going to be putting up with your nonsense anymore. The voice you're going to hear is the school board president, Sonia Shaw, kicking Tony Thurmond, the state superintendent, out of their meeting. This is brilliant. Take a listen.
For our students, but may put our students at risk because they may not be in homes where they can be safe.
Time. And I learned something from a previous board president. Guys, be respectful. I am going to do a point of order, which I learned from a previous board president. Tony Thurmond, I appreciate you being here tremendously. But here's the problem. We're here because of people like you. You're in Sacramento proposing things that pervert children. You had a chance to come and talk to me, Tony. By all means, you had a chance to come talk to me. Why was it so important for you to walk with my opponent? You are the very reason why we're in this.
May I have, as a point of order, as the board
president... Point of order, this is not your meeting. You may have a seat, because if I did that to you in Sacramento, you would not accept it. Please sit.
May I get a point of order?
You're not going to blackmail us. You already sent us a blackmailing letter on previous things.
Point of order.
You'll not bully us here in Chino. Please sit.
Point of order.
Somebody about
in
to
Chino.
Get cut.
Point We're going to take order. A five-minute break.
I love this. All right. So here's what's going on. The school district there in Chino Valley, the school board passed a rule. So if a child identifies as transgender at school, right? So if a child identifies as transgender, the school is now required, under this law, the school is now required to notify the parents. Now, that seems like a very reasonable thing, right? Well, the state superintendent, the guy who was trying to talk, he came down to the meeting to personally warn the school district that that kind of behavior is unacceptable. And this because the state believes that children should have a right to be able to identify as whatever they want to identify as in the school without telling mom and dad. The Orange County Register reported it this way. The policy introduced in June requires schools to notify parents in writing within 3 days after their child identifies as transgender, is involved in violence, or talks about suicide. Now, let me ask you, moms and dads, if your child is suicidal, wouldn't you like to know that information? Under the policy, schools will notify parents if their child seeks to change their name or pronouns or ask for access to gender-based sports, bathrooms, or changing rooms that do not match their assigned birth at gender. Before he was removed from the meeting, the state superintendent said the policy you consider tonight may not only fall outside of privacy laws, but may put our students at risk. Now, this is, again, I want you to understand. The schools in many of these districts are your enemy, but not in Chino Valley. They're actually doing the right thing here. The state superintendent released a statement. Tonight, I went to a school board meeting to stand up for gay students who invited me to join them as they spoke out against a radical new policy that threatens their safety. So what's the radical new policy here? According to the state of California, it is a radical idea to let moms and dads know that their kids are suicidal. Just think about that for a moment. Mr. Thurman says, when he was done speaking, the board president verbally attacked me and instructed a police officer to remove me. Good for you, ma'am. Good for you. Mr. Thurman said, I don't mind being thrown out of a board meeting by extremists. Again, what is extremist? The idea that if your child decides, you know what, I want to have body parts removed surgically, but you can't tell my parents. I want to have medical mutilation surgery, but you can't tell my parents. That, to me, is extreme, but according to the state of California, it's an extremist position to tell a parent that their child wants a medical procedure. Mr. Thurman goes on to say, I can take the heat. It's part of the job. What I can't accept is the mistreatment of vulnerable students whose privacy is being taken away. Let me ask moms and dads here, and we will open up the phones here. Moms, dads, I have a question for you. Do your children have the right to privacy? And by that, I mean they're your kids. You should know everything about your children. But the state of California is saying, mom and dad, you don't have a right here. You don't have a right to determine what your child is or does. You don't have that right, mom and dad. That is something that the state knows best. So thank goodness that the good people in Chino Valley are pushing back here. And you watch, there will be retribution here. There will be retribution. By the way, the state attorney general is already involved in California. He said that he's already written a letter to the board notifying parents that when children want to change their gender, he's warning the parents of potential infringements on students' privacy rights. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, my mother told me quite frankly, you don't have secrets in this household, right? Mom knows everything. And it's true. So I'm curious to hear your take on this, ladies and gentlemen. Because what the state of California is saying is, moms and dads, your rights as parents stop at the schoolhouse door. Our telephone number is 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Si tu día suena algo como...
Necesitamos el reporte ya mismo.
Tú te mereces una modelo. Si no bajas los brazos al escuchar...
¡Dos más!
Tú te mereces el sabor refrescante de esta lager dorada. Y si no te rindes al oír... Tú te mereces esta cerveza elaborada para aquellos con un espíritu luchador. Modelo, la marca de los luchadores. Todo con medida, importado por Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Our good buddy from Milwaukee, Jerry the Liberal, joins us. Hi, Jerry. What's going on? Hello, Jerry. All right, let's put Jerry on hold, and let's go to Connor in Boston. Hi, Connor. What's happening?
I don't know if Jerry got a little stage fright there, but, you know, I wanted to call in to tell you about, you know, this whole situation with California right now with privacy. Democrats, it just seems like they just want all the rights to fall on the state versus falling on families and parents. It's like when you have a child who needs a permission to get a tattoo and cannot sign a contract, you want to go ahead and tell me that this person, you know, this type of decision can be made without the consent of a parent. What's going to happen in the future when this child grows up and perhaps maybe they made the wrong decision? Are they going to be able to sue the state, or are you going to see like these medical advertisements on TV saying, did your parent go ahead and just not do anything about making this decision, and now you get to go ahead and sue them? Because I guarantee you won't be able to sue the state.
No, and but again, what the state's going to do here, Connor, I suspect, is come in and say, okay, fine, you're not going to follow our rules. We're taking away your state money. That's it.
And that's the thing that's just so troubling now, because with the Democrat Party, it's like they will use any power they have for direct control, and they want to shut mom and dad out of the picture. They want to shut parents out of the picture. And it's one of those things with Republicans that they really need to, once they do have power, truly really get things under control there, because it's just gone too far.
Connor, when did you graduate high school? What year did you graduate?
2013.
All right, so 2013, you're an old man now, and you're looking back at your experience. Did you have a public school education?
I went to a private high school.
All right, private high school. All right. So, looking back at your experience, do you see a lot of change in what's happening in the education system between when you graduated 10 years ago and where we are now?
So I think right now, like based on my experience, it's changed more so. It's more radical. I mean, these concepts were there. You would hear certain things like critical race theory was there. Certain things like that were there. But it's like they've gone to a new level now where things, you know, even then that were considered pretty extreme are considered now mild. Mm. It's like they've gone overboard with it.
It's really sad, but I'm afraid of what, you know, 5 years from now is going to look like in these schools, especially with the mindset from Democrats that they can actually decide what is best for your child. That's what blows me away here.
And it's scary to think of, too, what this generate, like anybody starting in the public school system now, what are they going to turn out to be once they, you know, get to college or they graduate high school? You know, are these going to be productive members of society, or are they just going to be wards of the state?
That's it. It is a terrific question. Connor, appreciate that call. Good hearing from you. All right, I think we've reestablished contact with Jerry the Liberal. Hi, Jerry. What's going on?
You hear me now, right, Todd?
Loud and clear.
Okay. I disagree with you. One of the things, let me bring up like an analogy. What if a school stated that the child of, say, like a Muslim parents or any kind of religious parents have to inform if their child becomes a Christian and starts wearing a cross? And that seems a dramatic change. Should the government be mandated to report? Because maybe the parents want to know if their child became a Christian. Maybe they consider that a negative. Maybe they consider that important enough to involve the government to, you know, to inform, to tell them on something like that. I mean, that's exactly what this is. It's considered like, well, being transgender is so bad. But that's the thing. You got to have the bullshit.
Oh, Jerry, we've got a bad phone signal, but let me finish your thought for you on your behalf, if you don't mind. That's bonkers. Jerry, we're not talking about becoming a Christian or becoming Jewish. We're talking about chopping off body parts. We're talking about a mental disorder. And if your child is threatening suicide and you don't know anything about it because the school says we can't tell you, I've got a big problem with that. Ultimately, it just seems to me that the parents bear full responsibility for the child, not the state, but the parent. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you agree, disagree? Give us a call, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Jerry, sorry about the phone signal there. Let's go to Tim in North Carolina, the talk station. Hi, Tim. What say you?
Yes, sir. Hello from little old Sneedsbury, North Carolina, home of the Sneedsbury Shrimp Festival.
Oh, the Shrimp Festival. So that's big doings in your part.
It's the official state Shrimp Festival.
Oh, wow. Okay, then that is, so it's verified. So we're, all right, Tim,
good stuff.
All right, we've got about, we don't have a lot of time here, so I want to make sure you get your point in.
Yes, sir. My point is schools must notify parents if their kids are acting up, if the kid's having a mental issue, which could be bipolar or something, but they don't have to notify them if they want to have their Johnson cut off.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. But then again, it sort of does, Tim, when you come to terms with this idea that the state, run by Democrats, they believe that they know better than mom and dad. And this is a philosophy that Barack Obama brought to the table years ago. Remember when he would tell kids, hey, at Christmas time, at Thanksgiving, those are the great opportunities to get into political debates at the dinner table. Remember that?
I don't, but I know Hillary Clinton had No Child Left Behind, and that was part of it, too.
And what did she say, Tim? She wrote the book, It Takes a Village.
Village.
No, it takes a mom and a dad, Tim. It takes a mom and a dad.
It does.
All right.
Can I pass something along to your guy before we hang up?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Let me put you on hold, and Dylan will pick up there because we are coming up on a hard break. Coming up, our good friend Charles Thorngren is going to drop by with Legacy Precious Metals, talking about the economy, and he's going to share some ideas on how we can invest more wisely. We had some phone difficulties with Charles earlier in the week, so he was gracious enough to come back and to join us. All right, this is Open Line Friday, ladies and gentlemen, and that means you can call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about, ask me a question, holler at me. Well, don't holler, but you get the point. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, good to have you back with us today. Busy news day around the country. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line real quick. We are always honored to have a great friend of the program with us, Charles Thorngren. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Legacy Precious Metals. And the website, by the way, legacypminvestments.com. And Charles, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy Friday to hang out.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, Todd.
Yeah, Charles, I want to get to this. And really today, I just want to focus on investments and building that retirement account. And a lot of people have questions about how to do that. How old do you need to be to start preparing for retirement? And what does that look like? So let's start with that simple question. When should somebody, what age is good to start preparing?
As soon as you can. You can never downplay the effect of time on your retirement account, right? So as soon as you're able to get started, you should do that. You get a little job, put some money away. Open an IRA account yourself if your job doesn't offer you one. As soon as you start to earn money, you should take advantage of an IRA account because not only does it give you a tax break, it prepares you so that you can have the retirement that you want. The more time, the better.
You know, somebody like me, I waited a little bit longer in life before starting to prepare for retirement. And I've been telling the younger Stearnses, to start doing it early. You know, some of them are still in high school, others are in college. And even at that young age, you can begin that process. And I can't imagine what it would be like to start preparing for retirement as a 17 or 18 year old. And then when it's time to call it a day, you're going to be pretty much set.
Absolutely. And one of the things you can't overlook too is the time is important, but also the habit. The sooner you start to invest in yourself in your retirement account and make it a habit, the easier it is. It's just something that you do automatically. You don't even think about it. And that's important too. Good habits are always a benefit.
I'm curious about the IRAs because you guys provide the gold and the silver IRAs. You also have coins, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But when you think about retirement, at least when I did, when I was you know, in my 20s, I heard about the regular IRA, but I had not heard about a gold or silver IRA. What's the difference?
You know, there's no difference in the IRA itself. It's a retirement account. The difference is the vehicle that you're invested in. So often, you know, people just think automatically, I should buy stocks. But even in the market of equities, when you're dealing with stocks, it should be more than just stocks. You want diversity, right? And when you invest, you have the options. You could do real estate at some point in time. You can do gold and silver. You can do the equities. You can do bonds. And they're all an important strategy. Diversity is real important. And the big thing is the gold and silver aspect. Most people don't talk about it because they don't know about it. The more you know, the better, kind of a scenario. So the sooner you start and you add that function to your retirement account, it gives you the diversity and the balance you're looking for.
We have a pretty diverse audience here of all ages. And I'm curious to understand the dangers of not diversifying, because, you know, a lot of folks, maybe they just have everything in the stock market and they think that's the best way to handle retirement. Are there dangers if you do not diversify?
Absolutely. And it's like the old saying that we heard from our folks and our grand folks, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Because anytime you're in an investment, there's ups and downs to an investment, right? So if you're stuck in just equities, let's say, and through the course of history, there's times that market turns upside down. And we've seen it prevalent. It happens on a regular occasion. 2008, 2000, 1998, 1984. You have scenarios where you lose all your value because you had nothing to protect it. This is why diversity is important. So when you're talking equities, here's one of the things I always like to ask people and say, okay, you're in equities. Which equities? But more importantly, why? Do you know why you're in that investment? And most people don't. Understanding what you're doing is an important part of the process. It really is. So you know where you stand. You don't get that often in equities.
Charles Thorngren is the Chief Executive Officer of Legacy Precious Metals. And folks, when you go to the website, here's what I want you to do. I just want you to scroll down and see who they are trusted by. People like Newt Gingrich and Trish Regan. By the way, she's one of the smartest people I know. You know, I know that you and Trish know each other well. She is a brilliant lady. I got to tell you, Charles.
I will admit, she intimidates me sometimes.
Right? I thought it was just me. And we've been good friends forever. Of course, Larry Kudlow as well. So there are some good people I know that utilize the great services provided by Legacy PM Investments. Charles, let's talk about your website, which is so great. First of all, you guys are all about education, and you have these great products, but it's more important, and this is what I really appreciate about you guys. There's no hard sell here. You answer questions. You take people through all the various issues that they might have. And I want to start with this free gold guide. So what are people going to get if they get this free gold guide?
It's going to give you a really comprehensive introduction to metals. And that's an important part of the process so that you can look at it and say, okay, what are we talking about here? Okay, I see gold, I see silver. And it's going to give you a good background. Will it answer all your questions? Probably not. And it's not meant to do that. I'm not trying to write a book here for you. I'm trying to give you an introduction. But that introduction's good because it allows you to get a hold of us and ask the questions that you need to get the answers that you need.
And again, there is no, you know, pressure here. It's all about education. And then you can make the right decisions for whatever is important for you and your family as far as preparing for the future.
Absolutely. You know, people will call us sometimes and they'll ask the questions and we'll talk about it. And there are some occasions where I say, you know, metals may not be right for you. Based on what you're talking about and where you're at, this may not be the right way to go right now. We're never going to push you into something that's not right for you. It doesn't serve us. We often say that we're a customer service company that happens to deal in metals. But the customer service is really what's important.
Well, and I can attest to that. And we really appreciate the great work that you do, Charles. Again, LegacyPMInvestments.com, ladies and gentlemen. LegacyPMInvestments.com. All sorts of great materials and information for you there on the gold IRA, the silver IRA. And also, Charles, and I mentioned I was going to talk about this, your awesome coins, and I am a coin collector, and you've got some really nice coins there.
Absolutely. You know, and that's one of the things. Once you get invested in metals and you begin to understand it, you start looking for other options. And there are other options, and we'll talk about that. As people build their portfolio, they'll say, you know what, I'd like a couple coins like this, or I'm looking for something like that. We can help with that area too.
Well, my favorite, the American Buffalo coins, and of course the American Gold Eagle, which is just two very beautiful coins that you guys have in your full collection.
Absolutely. You know, the Buffalo, the reprint of the old Buffalo nickel. I was so happy when they came out with it. I remember when it first started minting it again, it was exciting.
It's pretty awesome. All right, Charles, we're going to have to leave it there. We always appreciate you coming on, and thank you. Really, thank you for helping our listeners. There are so many questions people have, and it's hard to find people out there, you know, that are willing to take the time to answer the questions. And we really appreciate about that with you guys.
We'll always be that company, just as we've always been. And you forgot one person on that website, the great Todd Starnes as well. You're there as well.
I'm not going to reject that. Yeah, we'll take that compliment. All right, Charles, God bless you and have a great weekend. LegacyPMInvestments.com, ladies and gentlemen. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com. Just go and check it out. And if you have questions, they're going to be more than happy to answer those questions. And be sure to get that free gold guide. That's going to be very helpful. All right, I want to step in for just a moment here, and normally we do not do this, but this is an important emergency alert that's just come across my personal cell phone, and this is for all of our listeners in Memphis and in Western Tennessee, folks listening to us on KWAM. The National Weather Service has now issued a severe thunderstorm warning, and here's how dangerous this is. Folks, 80-mile-an-hour winds with this storm. They're telling people to take shelter right now in a sturdy building away from windows. Flying debris may be deadly to those caught without shelter. So, again, this is a very dangerous situation about to impact the Memphis area. We're talking about 1.4 million people bracing for this storm. 80-mile-an-hour winds and the emergency alert just coming down from the National Weather Service. So you folks, be sure to listen to your local radio stations, WTJS for our listeners in the Jackson, Tennessee area, and KWAM for our listeners here in the Memphis Mid-South area. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. It is Open Line Friday. Our telephone number is 844-747-8868. Again, that's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Program. We're still here. I just want to share some intel. We are literally in the middle of a massive storm. And the lights are flickering. We have actually backup generators to keep the studio up, so we should be okay. But it is pretty wild outside. Dylan, I was looking out the window just a few seconds ago, and the wind.
These trees are looking a little scary.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're gonna keep we're gonna stay on the air as long as we can. I think there was a little, was there ringing, or is that one of the alerts going off in the background? Oh yeah. All right. Well, we can let people listen in on this. This is just what's happening in real time here in Memphis right now. It's just bizarre. So there you go. Again, the National Weather Service issuing, and they normally don't do a weather emergency like this for a thunderstorm, but they said 80-mile-an-hour winds. I just checked to see the power outages. We went from 15,000 from the last storm, from last Tuesday. People have been without power. And now we understand over 26,000 customers, and that's like a house. So 26,000 houses and businesses. It is insane. It is dark, and it looks like a monsoon outside. I've never seen anything quite like this. Bizarre. So anyway, I know it's other people's weather, but just to give you a flavor of what's happening, guys, I'm looking at rain, and it's like sideways rain right now. Unbelievable. All right, it is Open Line Friday. We are taking your calls, whatever you want to talk about today. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. 8868. I want to play some audio from a state representative. And this guy is just enraged over Jason Aldean. His name is Justin Jones. He's a radical leftist. And he was on CNN talking about the racist song that Jason Aldean produced. Cut number two, please.
As the youngest black lawmaker in our state, I felt like we had an obligation and a duty to condemn this heinous, vile, racist song that is really about harkening back to days past. There's no accident that he filmed this in the site of the Maury County Courthouse where the race riot happened, and where as well as the 1927 lynching of a young man who was 18 years old, Henry Cho, occurred. This song is about normalizing racist violence, vigilantism, and white nationalism. And it's about glorifying a South that we are moving forward from and that we're trying to move forward from here in Tennessee.
And Aldean, obviously, he didn't write the song, but clearly sings it. And you know, for some of the lyrics, we were looking at them earlier. One of them is, cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on the flag and light it up. Yeah, you think you're tough. We'll try that in a small town. Are those the lyrics that you're referencing?
Those lyrics, and the lyric that says, see how far you make it down the road. I mean, this is a lynching anthem. It's an anthem that reminds me of the stories of young men like Trayvon Martin, of Ralph Yarl, you know, young men, Ahmaud Arbery, who were killed by white vigilantes. I mean, this song is not about small towns, because if it was about small towns, where was Jason Aldean when the Maury County people were fighting for their clean water? Where was he when hospitals in these small towns were closing? Where was he when people in these communities were suffering from starvation wages? Nowhere to be found, but instead he comes to sing a song that harkens back to division, that harkens back to fear of outsiders, this racist violence that led my grandparents to leave these small towns, fleeing Jim Crow terror. You know, this is something that we must condemn, because if we normalize this racist, violent rhetoric, then we normalize racist, violent actions. And we cannot allow that, because we see what's happening in this nation. I was expelled challenging gun violence. This song is about this proliferation of guns in our communities, of violence, of taking things into our own hands when we feel threatened by people because they're different than us. I mean, this is shameful and we must condemn it.
What do you make of how he noted? I mean, Jason Aldean, for those who don't remember, was obviously performing at that festival in Las Vegas when a gunman opened fire and killed 58 people. It was the deadliest mass shooting in American history. And he said in response, quote, no one, including me, wants to continue to see senseless headlines or families ripped apart. I mean, do you think that rings true when you listen to the song?
I mean, when I listen to the song, I hear this normalization of gun extremism. We are a state that has been plagued by mass shootings. Just this year, Covenant, you know, Elementary School. This is not about bringing us together, but it's about lifting up division and fear of neighbor. This is not about caring for each other. You know, it's very shameful that this is what he chose to offer in light of what we saw this year. In Maury County, where he performed the song, just last week, the KKK left flyers in front of black churches. I mean, let's be honest about what this is about. And so we must be truthful to condemn this, about the proliferation of guns in our community. Our vision is a new South, a South where we care for each other, where we uplift the beloved community, where we lift up a community where our kids are protected and not, you know, guns. And so this is not about ending violence. This song is about promoting violence, normalizing violence, particularly white vigilante violence. And Jason Aldean should be ashamed of himself for promoting this song that seeks our darkest history instead of our better angels in this nation.
So look, I love this song. And Jason did a great job singing it. It's absolutely beautiful. And I think that the truth is what is really aggravating people here. That's what's triggering people. This idea that there should be right and wrong, and that there is something called absolute truth. I mean, he doesn't mention these concepts of the song, but it's what the song is about. That, you know what? There was a time in American history where people would not tolerate other people going and shooting folks and attacking people and doing all. There is a time that this would not happen. But now people are allowed to walk the streets and burn down buildings and beat up police officers. And I think the point here is that if you speak out against those things, if you're one of those people and you're saying, hey, I got a problem with Black Lives Matter burning down city streets and burning down small businesses that happen to be owned by blacks, And now all of a sudden, they turn around, and if you've got a problem with that and you're a white person, well, you're a racist. You're anti-black. That's ludicrous. That, ladies and gentlemen, is poppycock. Yes, I said it. Poppycock. It is. So I say this. Jason, you keep singing that song. And there are a lot of people in this country that are going to stand alongside of you, and there are more of us than there are of them. And I know that because I was in Whitehaven, which is a suburb of Memphis yesterday, and there were so many people, so many citizens that were there because they are sick of what this country has become, and they're ready for change. Well, folks, that's going to do it here. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate you guys so much, and I hope you head over to our website, toddstearns.com. Check out all the great information there. Want to thank our great team here, Dylan and Colin and Grace. You guys just keep rocking and rolling out there. Pray for the folks in Tennessee. It is going to be a rough night here in Memphis. You be good, America, and be sure to go to church this weekend.